Holy Wit!
What did you just say?
Holy Wit, a podcast for warriors in training. If you recall, last week we talked about the importance of learning how to engage in healthy conflict resolution. We will pick it up by talking about bringing in a third person, what to look for, and what to expect from them, as well as some direction for that third person.
Right? We need to approach conflict resolution from a point of, I'm willing to look for resolution.
Yes.
Right? Not just, well, I just want to hash this out and see what happens, or see what they have to say for themselves. The point of this is I want to go in and I want to resolve this. Mm-hmm. And so all of these things should be so much thought and prayer that goes into them before you ever have that conversation mm-hmm. with that person.
Well, what happens if you've gone through this and you've checked yourself in private in those intimate moments with Holy Spirit, and you come to the conclusion that it's going to suck, but you're going to do it. Mm-hmm. And then you're in the midst of the conversation and it gets heated and it starts to fall apart. You're not getting anywhere. Whether you've stopped listening, you've turned yourself off, or the other person's turned themselves off, but you've agreed that this is necessary to restore and repair and heal not only your own wounds, but the relationship between the two of you and the community around you, that this is important to be done. Mm-hmm. What's the next step if it can't be resolved one-on-one?
Right. I mean, you know, if you're making an effort, a prayerful effort, processing these things, and just are finding resolution really hard to get to, you know, scripture tells us that we need to find someone that we trust, someone who is connected with Holy Spirit, who is, you know, receiving counsel from, that is connected directly with God, has a direct experience with Him, that both people involved in the conflict respect and trust, and invite them in to kind of mediate, you know, to be that person, that unbiased person who can kind of guide the conversation in a way that the two of you couldn't.
Exactly. And for that mediator, that third party, that's another thing that the two of you would agree on. Mm-hmm. Who is it going to be? Because you don't want one person thinking that the other side is being stacked against you.
I'll get my husband to come in and mediate for us because I know whose side he's going to take.
And right? If he doesn't take my side, he's going to hear about it when we get home.
Right.
But it can't be your spouse. Mm-hmm. Your spouse can't be in there. There's so many things that could go wrong when a spouse is mediating a conflict between two people. But it does need to be agreed upon. And we recommend that it's not a pastor in your church that you don't really have conversation with. Mm. It's got to be somebody who knows you both.
But it's so important when there is conflict that isn't being resolved.
Yes.
And being that unbiased person to come into this situation, I mean, it's very important for that person to have understanding. Mm-hmm. And being able to meet one-on-one with each of the parties involved in that conflict to gain an understanding of their experience, their hurts, where they're coming from, what they're hoping to achieve in this situation, and then talking to the other person and discussing the same things with them so that they can come into this and not be completely blindsided when they sit down to try and mediate this situation.
Exactly. It's so good. One-on-one. I've experienced this. Where I haven't been the one coming in as a third party, but I've learned from being in there with a third party what I think should be done versus what happened. And that hasn't happened. Sorry, it happened once where there was, you know, meeting separately. And it was good. It was good because then you can get out that hot emotional part of it, and it's almost like you're reliving it as you're telling it to that other person. But things fall apart soon after that, because there was, in this one situation that I'm thinking about, it didn't lead to a room getting together with both sides, it was determined at that point that you two are a lost cause.
Mm.
We can't get together. And it turns out that us two that were a lost cause very much did get together and made a case for the cause. In any event, that's not an option. If you are asked by both parties who are willing to resolve a conflict to say, this isn't worth it, we're not going to go any further. What that person is saying is, I'm not the right one to get you guys to talking, to get you guys to the next level. And so recognizing that, going, okay, so that's not the right person. Who else could we agree on to meet with us?
And that's an important distinction to make. Yes. You know, when that person said, you guys are a lost cause, you know, I can't mediate any kind of resolution. It's like, okay, well, you can't, but God doesn't intend for us to remain in conflict. So right. Obviously there is someone who is willing and capable and has the right tools to be able to mediate this. So when that person says, nope, throw my hands up in the air, that this is a lost cause, it's important to recognize it's not a lost cause. We just need to find someone who is in a place to be able to mediate the situation.
Exactly. Exactly. So there's more than one person in the community that you can go to, that you can agree to, where you're not going to feel like it's stacked mm-hmm. against you or stacked for you. So you get that person and they've met with both of you separately and you come together and you talk about your conflict and what happened. And he said, she said, or she said, she said, or he said, whatever it is. That person cannot judge between the two. You're not there as a third person to determine a winner
mm-hmm.
and a loser. Your job is to get them talking, to get them think about each other, what the other person is experiencing. Because a lot of times when we're hot under the collar and we've been really hurt, it's so important for us that you understand my position before I'm going to start to understand yours. And the other person is thinking the same thing. And you're not going to come together. It's like two magnets repelling each other. You're not going to understand each other, nor wanting to. But the job of that third person is to get you to help clarify what the real issue is.
Right. It's to keep you focused
exactly.
on the important things that need to be discussed, yes. right? Not the giving you an opportunity to vent all of your pent up emotion. Yes. It's to keep the conversation constructive
yeah.
and guided so that it doesn't just become an emotional venting.
Yeah. And if you're the third person, lay down the ground rules, have a list to remind yourself. These are the ground rules. We were only talking about this that happened. We're not talking about something that was uncool 2 years ago that you didn't resolve
right.
or that you decided to carry. Obviously it's still there,
mm-hmm.
but these are the ground rules. We're going to talk about this. I'm going to give each of you time to talk to each other. You're not talking to me. The mediator is actually like that fly on the wall that we always want to be.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking to each other. And I'm going to jump in when I see it going off course, or if somebody's not understanding, or to frame it a different way, bring in clarity, as I said before. So, and this third person can help each party establish that move forward. How can we move forward in this relationship? How can you guys move forward in your relationship and not move forward and just agree to disagree? Mm-hmm. That doesn't resolve conflict. To move forward in mutual understanding, as we mentioned earlier, you have to establish boundaries. And sometimes conflict comes and it's ugly when we don't have boundaries in place.
Mm-hmm.
And then we didn't even know that we breached somebody's boundary until we did. And so it's a good thing if you can come together one-on-one. If you can recognize that there weren't really any communicated boundaries in place, and that it's a good to have this discussion to resolve this conflict, because now I understand where I overstepped my boundary, or I understood how I allowed you to overstep my boundary. So reestablishing those boundaries is a good thing, and that can be achieved when you're speaking in conflict resolution, whether it's the one-on-one or with the mediator involved. So these are good things. We got to start seeing conflict resolution as a good thing, as a necessary thing. Going back to what that third person is for, they're also committed to pray and to keep the situation private.
So important. I mean, trust is such an important part of being involved in conflict in either way, but specifically as a mediator who's not directly involved in the conflict. It's not your right to leave that and go and talk to all the people in your small group. Hey, you will not believe what happened between so-and-so and so-and-so. Like, it's so important to be that person that the people involved in the conflict know they can trust in that situation.
So what kind of response would happen if say somebody else in the community knows that's going on? Because let's face it, when conflict happens, we think we're being private about it. Everybody knows about it, whether it was, you know, somebody that's not there when the group gets together, or, you know, I've mentioned this person's name to this other person and I saw how they just kind of went, you know, stone face cold, or started saying things about that other person that were so outside of character for them. You know that there's conflict happening. For that third person, what's the response? So I heard you were the one, because the people in the conflict, they have every right to say in the community, pray for us. I've asked this person to be a mediator to do this. So this is when we're meeting, please keep us in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
But it drives me crazy that so many people use the word prayer in the place of gossip.
Right. I was just thinking the same thing. Oh, you really need to pray for so-and-so.
Because.
Yeah. And it's just your Christian way of gossiping. Like, that's all it is. Yeah.
Just like coffee's our Christian addiction. And asking people to pray for others can be our Christian gossip. And we got to be so careful not to distort the facts and to understand what we can say and what we shouldn't say. So going back to the question, that person who's a third party listening and trying to get a plan moving forward, trying to bring these two parties together so that they can resolve things and move forward. What's their response if they get, how do they respond to somebody who's trying to pry them for information? You're not going to say, hey, troll, climb back in that hole you crawled out of. Right. What would be a better response?
Aside from calling someone a troll. I mean, I know for me personally, if that was me that was a mediator in a situation and someone was subtly trying to ask questions, maybe out of curiosity or gossip or whatever, my response would be, you know what? These people have really trusted me with this situation and I can't talk about it. If they're willing to share their experience after this, that's going to be up to them. But it's not my place to say anything about it.
So good. That's their news to tell you, not for me.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, it may not be, the other person might have to have a conflict resolution conversation. And it would be a good thing.
Right.
To reestablish those boundaries that are going on. But in that, I think it teaches respect. That your respect meter would go up for that person who didn't say it and go, oh, you know what? You're right. That was wrong of me to ask. I don't know what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to leave you now and go find out what's going on. So after you've met, all this is good. After you've met, that third person's job isn't done. Their role isn't done in serving these two people who are trying to resolve their conflict and move forward. So after the meeting is done, you may agree at that time, we need to meet again. And as that third party, you need to challenge them in what you've talked about in your plan to move forward. Challenge them. Now they are accountable to you for a time. And it's good to meet with them separately after. How did it go for you? What was going on in your mind? How did this land, kind of thing? And have that conversation with both of them, and then maybe determine at that time whether I don't think we need to meet again. I think you two need to meet and start carrying the conversation on where we left it.
Right. And that's important. I think there can be so many different, it can look so different moving forward in so many different ways, right? Like you said, it can be like, this is what we needed to be able to get over that hump we were stuck behind.
Yeah.
And now we can continue this, just the two of us, you know, or it might be, you know what, I've been challenged to do this specific thing, you know, whether it's journaling about the thing I'm hurting in or healing from, or whether it's, you know, you're committing to an action plan. Right. And then maybe there's a couple of weeks or even a couple of months of, you know, maybe a phone call once or twice a week. Hey, I just wanted to check in with you. Are you still following this plan that we put in place?
And it's important that you said a phone call.
Mm-hmm. Not a text.
We've got to get, we're so lazy in our communication.
I just about said text and then I knew I would get called out. So I changed to phone call.
Yes. We're learning. We're learning. We had to learn how to text. Now we got to learn how not to text.
Yes. Yeah. And it's that accountability can look different. Like I said, depending on what the plan is moving out of that meeting with your unbiased third party, the action plan can look very different depending on what has been decided and what has been resolved and where both parties are at.
Yeah.
So, but it's important to verbalize it and make it very clear. Because I think through all of this, you know, right from the start, right to the finish, it's so important that the expectations and boundaries, as you spoke to, are very clear to both people involved. And I think with that, if you are involving a third party, it's important to have that conversation when both people in the conflict are present. Mm-hmm. This is what the guidelines are for this conversation. This is what the expectation is. This is the end goal. Mm-hmm. And then when you're putting your action plan together, again, making it very clear in front of both people, because as soon as you start having separate conversations in regards to things that are applicable to both people, you can get that miscommunication. Mm-hmm. Or, well, you said this to me, but you said it this way to me, and that's different, right? Yeah. So it's so important. It's so easy to miscommunicate unintentionally.
Yep.
That having those conversations in front of both people, I think, is a really important piece of maintaining a level of little or no conflict as you come out of this.
And it's so true, because if you just left it as being that third person, meeting with person A separately and then meeting with person B separately, when you come together, the story is going to change.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you're face to face with the person that you're in conflict with, and you may have embellished it a little bit or a lot with your mediator, but now your story's got to come together, and you know that the other person is going to call bogus
right
on you if you say or exaggerate something that wasn't true or didn't happen. And what's your response to that, other than, oh, okay, well, I said, but you don't always have to call out the embellishment. You just need to understand that the story is going to change when you get together versus when you met individually. And it's good for that third person to see that, because they can speak to it if it has to be spoken to.
Mm-hmm.
Marcy, is there anything that we didn't talk about?
No, you know, when I went through the broken branches, this particular session in the broken branches series, this is the one that really stuck with me, that I carried through, that really, it hit me in a way where I've never really thought of conflict in this way before. So I just found it so, so helpful, so profound in a way where it's like, man, like, how have I gone through my whole life already and never had a really constructive outline to approach and resolve conflict? So this lesson just really, really hit me. I loved it. I still refer back to it frequently.
That's awesome. Because here's the thing. When we ask people, and you can ask yourself, why do you hate conflict? Like, hate may be a strong word, but it's probably not.
Right.
Why do you avoid conflict?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so many people, I think we're all guilty of it.
Yes.
At one point or another. And it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. There's risk involved. You're risking the potential destruction of that relationship if the other person is not willing to constructively engage. There's so much risk in conflict resolution,
mm-hmm.
that it makes it uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It makes it awkward, and it requires vulnerability. You're putting yourself out there. That's where the risk comes in, and you are at the mercy of the other person involved as to how they're going to receive this conversation and respond to this conversation.
Absolutely.
So I think the risk is worth it when we're in true caring community.
Mm-hmm.
It's worth it, because anytime I have had a constructive conflict resolution conversation, it has deepened that relationship. There's a higher level of respect between us. There's a higher level of trust. There's a higher level of understanding and caring for each other. So I think it's so important. But yeah, it's hard. It's hard. And I'm not going to say it's not. And I don't think it ever is easy. It becomes easier as you become more comfortable in the process.
Mm-hmm.
But it's never an easy thing.
No.
So I think it's an important thing, but it's definitely never easy.
No. And one thing that would help us gauge where we're at in this, in the awkwardness of this conflict resolution, is write on a list and put down all your reasons why it's awkward for you. All the reasons why you want to avoid it. And just start there. And then pay attention to how many of those reasons are self-centered and about your comfort. And you will be able to determine how willing you are to resolve that conflict. And it, and also, it's a fabulous list to bring before the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Teach me, show me how to move out of this.
Right.
And be more other-focused than self-focused.
That's a wrap for our discussion about conflict resolution. It is our intent that you would take what you learned and put it into practice. Guaranteed, it will take time, but it's worth it when you invest your time in your relationships. Cam is back next week, and we will discover the line Titus left us looking for at the beginning of this journey called Broken Branches.